You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It upsets me so much that there's still people that we need to convince this is a real fucking thing. Real friggin' thing.
The Wire. Oxfam has published a report on New Zealand's fossil fuel industry, calling upon the government to immediately end the production of oil and gas. While New Zealand has made numerous commitments to reducing our climate impact, the new government has announced policies that promote further oil and gas production. I spoke to Oxfam's climate justice lead and the report's lead author, Nick Henry, about the report and how new government policies will affect our emissions targets. Is New Zealand's emissions progress currently in line with our climate targets?
No, it's not. We need to do more to reduce our emissions. And another way that we can contribute to the global effort to keep temperature increases below 1.5 degrees, so that's the goal of the Paris Agreement that we signed up to, is reducing our production of fossil fuels in New Zealand, because whether those are consumed here, or as most of them are, all of the oil, most of the coal is exported, that contributes to the world's emissions beyond what we produce here in Aotearoa. So we know that there's no room for new oil, gas or coal development within that 1.5 degrees limit. In fact, the oil and gas and coal that we're already digging up in those developed fields would take us beyond 1.5 degrees. So we actually have to have a plan to close those fields and mines early with a just transition to better alternatives that are going to provide good jobs and keep our communities both employed but also safe from the climate crisis.
Can those clean energy alternatives support New Zealand's current energy usage?
Yes, they can. It will take some work, and we should have started that work years ago, but the second best time is now. There has been a failure by New Zealand's energy, privately owned, but also with a public shareholding of those. There's been a failing of our energy companies to invest in renewable energy, and that's because our market has made it profitable for them to not invest in cheaper, cleaner renewable energy. So we urgently need, with a lot of leadership from government, to get our electricity grid off gas and also off coal, and the solutions to do that definitely exist in technology terms. We just need the right incentives and political leadership to make it happen. So that means building up renewable energy, including and especially at the local household and community level. So supporting community renewable schemes is a great way to increase our capacity as well. Managing our demand better so that we smooth out some of those peaks that are peaks of demand that are causing the big problems. And also the final piece, which is necessary to do what is needed, which is to end fossil fuel production in Aotearoa completely, would be to replace the gas-fired peak demand power stations with renewable alternatives, which would be energy storage, not just batteries, but various forms of energy storage, or even geothermal has the capacity to have that fast start. It all gets quite technical as well, but the solutions do exist, and what we really need is the urgency to do it and to minimise our use of gas in the transition rather than expanding it, because we know there's no room in the climate for expanded production of any fossil fuels.
On a slightly different note, in your report, you talk about New Zealand's climate issues as they relate to colonisation. How can we link ideas of decolonisation to climate activism?
Yeah, it's a really important question, and we were very pleased to work with Dr. Matt Scobie, who's a Ngāi Tahu academic and an expert on Indigenous economies, to look at the history of the fossil fuel industry in Aotearoa, how it was that we ended up with a fossil fuel production industry in this part of the Pacific. And the story really is one of colonisation from the early days of the coal industry, firing our agriculture, intensification with refrigerated meat exports and all of that, right up to the 70s with the expansion of oil and gas, and the continual thread running through those of colonisation and dispossession of Māori as tangata whenua including the confiscation of petroleum rights in 1937, that deprived Māori of the revenues from that resource, but more critically deprived Māori of the self-determination over whether to develop that resource, which would have been critical in recent decades, as Māori have been the leaders of climate justice activism often in Aotearoa, having iwi, having their rightful say over whether we continue to develop fossil fuels. That would have been critical, and depriving Māori of that right of decision has been something that's allowed the fossil fuel industry to expand in Aotearoa, and that's going to be a critical fight to restore the right of self-determination of hapu Māori over their resources and economies and communities.
What degree of impact will the new government's policies have on future governments and our climate agreements?
It's a really important question, because the reason that we're focusing on fossil fuel production decisions is not because it's not also important to focus on consumption and find all the ways we can to reduce the use of fossil fuels, but alongside that, decisions on production are made in quite a kind of lumpy way. They're made sort of all at once in big chunks of investment. And once that investment is made and the permits are granted, it's not impossible, but it's pretty hard. It's much harder to roll that back. So when production decisions are made, those can lock in really substantial amounts of emissions that would take us far beyond the kind of the track that we need to be on to do New Zealand's fair share of phasing out fossil fuels globally. And so that's why it would be a dangerous step in the wrong direction for the new government to go ahead with overturning the ban on offshore oil and gas exploration and allowing that industry to expand, or encouraging or allowing the coal industry to expand, including on conservation land. Those are really worrying possibilities that the new government really needs to take a step back and get some advice and open up consultation and really look at whether that's a good idea, because it's, when you look at the global climate, it's there's no way that it's consistent with keeping global warming below 1.5 degrees to be opening up any new fossil fuel development. And in fact, we need to be having a plan to close down existing production over time with the just transition, so really phasing out down to zero while building the alternatives. And so just the problem is that we have a new government who say that they're committed to those goals of the Paris Agreement, who actually signed up to the Paris Agreement in 2015, but are also making announcements that seem to contradict that commitment. So that's really a question for the new government. Will they stick with their commitments to do our bit to reduce global warming, to stand with the Pacific, to try and pull back from the brink of this crisis? Because right now we're hurtling towards a much, much worse climate crisis than what we're already experiencing.
And so when you were talking about those policies, you mentioned that these policies might make it in turn more difficult, or exponentially more difficult, for future governments to reach our climate targets.
Yes, that's right. And I think there are two aspects to that. One is that in terms of New Zealand's domestic climate targets, we do need to get to 100% renewable energy, not as an aspiration, but as a real mission and goal to achieve. By 2030 would be great if we can do that. And the real benefit for that would be that we would not be relying on gas production, and we could have a plan to fully transition to zero fossil fuel production. As we do that, we would need the government to take a much more active role in reducing gas production, because the current market would just keep expanding or maintaining production forever as long as it's needed for electricity, even though it's like 2% of the electricity grid is actually dependent on the parts of peak demand that we currently need gas for. It's making up a much bigger part of our domestic emission. The other part is that by phasing out fossil fuels rapidly by the early 2030s, In terms of production, New Zealand would be contributing our fair share to the global fossil fuel phase-out that is absolutely needed to reduce the most severe aspects of the climate crisis. If we carry on as we are, we would blast through and pass that 1.5-degree limit, which are going to make conditions much worse for communities in the Pacific and around the world who are already, including in Aotearoa, who are already experiencing those effects of extreme weather.
That was Oxfam's climate justice lead and lead author of Oxfam's recent climate report, Nick Henry, speaking about the report and the new government.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.